Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, in our text this morning, Peter is addressing a diverse group of Christians living in a number of cities in a country which today is Turkey. Some were probably Jew, some were Greek. Some were very likely lifelong temple worshipers, others may have been new Christians. But as a group, they had a problem. They were in need of further instruction in the right way to live the Christian life. They knew they were saved, but they were not living as though they appreciated the cost of their salvation. You see, these Christians, like many of us today, apparently didn't think it was crucial to live a holy life since they already had it made. They were not living as though they were redeemed by the Father. Think about this. If you appreciate what someone has done for you, you look for ways to return the favor, don't you? And if you're not thanked for something that you've done, you say, they just don't appreciate me, right? So Peter says that we are to conduct ourselves in fear, or a deeply respectful, holy obedience to the Father. But does the knowledge that we're supposed to obey the Father always make us obey? Of course not. The days can get very long. The temptations are strong. We grow weary and forget what Christ has done for us. All too often we struggle and our confidence fails. Well, struggling does come easy for us, doesn't it? All too often we struggle with selfishness, pride, love of money, laziness, all kinds of disobedience. The problem in our day, as in Peter's day, is that the old man is still all sinner, completely hating good and the way of God, while the new born-again man is all saint, having put on the perfection of Christ. So it's a civil war. We're 100% old and 100% new, locked in a power struggle. Fortunately, it's not as if we're suddenly likely to fall the wrong way and suddenly go to hell. Remember the good news. Through the Father's claim on us in Christ, through baptism, the new man is the controlling force, with more power than the old ever can have. Christ won this power for us when he conquered death and hell once and forever. Thus, we are working from a victory, not towards a victory. The old nature is overcome, yet dangerously active. Don't forget the power of the foe. We have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, since we know that the outcome of the war is certain. But Satan is still fighting the individual battles, as you well know. So where do we get this power from to obey the Father? The battlefield is clearly in the mind. If we turn management of our mind over to Christ, the new man will run things. The power to do good is in control. And remember, not power of wealth or intelligence or strong desire, but the power found in the precious blood of Christ, who alone did all that is good. But still, how do we turn management of our mind over to Christ? Luther had something to say about this. He said, "When I am without the word, do not meditate on it and occupy myself with it. There is no Christ at home, no fervor and spirit. But as soon as I take up a psalm or a passage of scripture, it shines and burns into the heart and gives me new courage and a new mind. I know, too, that everyone will experience the same thing." Christ guides your life if he is in your mind. He enters your mind through his word and sacraments when you've admitted your failure to obey. When you struggle and your confidence fails, run to the word of God in scripture and holy communion. There Christ conquers. Just as Archimedes, the ancient mathematician, said that he could move the world If only he had a place to stand outside of it. So we need a foothold outside of ourselves in the world to do what God asks of us. And that foothold is Christ. Luther said in great confidence, "My supporter is strong and safe enough for me. That I know." God's word, the scripture, is your counselor in troubles, your ability to do what he asks. Read it daily, often, and then God's power in Christ can go to work. Then you will have the power and ability to obey. Therefore, we can sum up Peter's message to us in several passages from scripture. First, from the book of the Hebrews. "Since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe." In other words, God's costly and certain gift calls for a respectful and obedient response on our part. But so that we can have the persistence and strength to do this, Paul promised to the Colossians that we will be strengthened with all power through the knowledge of God according to his glorious might. Isn't this tremendous? This is all done so that we, you and I, can have complete hope and faith in our loving Father. We can approach him, not in terror, but in love and holy respect and obedience. We can live a life pleasing to him, not because we fear punishment, but because he is in us. We have not resisted in our battle until the point of shedding blood, but Christ did, and for everyone. Although we daily give up, Christ picks us up and once again points us in the right direction. Through him, we are sons and daughters who joyfully respond with acts of obedience to the Father until we are taken home to our promised inheritance. And what joy becomes ours in living like this? As members of God's family, we can live as the redeemed of the Father. We can approach him, not because we fear punishment, but because he alone has provided us with all meaning and encouragement for our life. Christ is in us right now, giving us courage and his word so that our faith and hope are in God. And isn't this, after all, a good way to live?